Hello, everybody. I was kind of hoping the worship music would just keep going on, God would come, and then I could just sneak out the back door, right? That's what I was hoping, right? But anyway, I usually don't have a problem talking in front of people, as some may know. I know if me and Jeff Troy got stranded on a desert island, we'd probably be good for a couple of weeks at least to start with, and then after that, I'm not sure. But I was really nervous about coming here just to speak in front of you, because this is my family. I love you guys, and something special when you get God involved. So it was very hard, and I actually, on the way here, here's a good thing to share with you. You guys know this, but I prayed and I said, God, please help me. I don't feel comfortable doing this. I feel really anxious. Help me. And I was like, oh, wow. I feel like a superhero. I'm like, great. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, so I'm going to be a little scattered because I kind of scribbled over a bunch of pages, so just bear with me. It was a lot because I guess I've been through a lot, but we all have, right? So anyway, as my story starts, my father drowned when I was 3 years old. And the following year, this was 1964, and the following year, my mother needed brain surgery. This was 1965. She told me that she had died on the operating table. And while going up to heaven, angels told her it wasn't her time yet. So go back and raise her four young kids. Since then, she always had a very strong faith in God. They had to put a metal plate in her head. But I just want to thank God for my Uncle John at the time, who came and took her to Manitoba. He picked her up in Thunder Bay, brought her there for the surgery. And my Aunt Mary, who was an amazing cook and who worked at a very high-end restaurant, but humbled herself to take care of my brother, my sisters, myself. And she stayed with us for many years and slept on our couch. And she didn't have to, but I thank God for that. So he had a plan B for us, which was good. So, okay, here we go. My first experience with God happened, I guess I could take this off, right? It's one of the fringe benefits of being up here. I feel like I'm a bank robber or something. My first experience with God happened golfing over 50 years ago. And God would always give me favor when I golfed because I hit a lot of bad shots, but somehow they'd fly out of the bush. And all my friends, theirs wouldn't. So they were always mad at me, like, how come you can do that? I'd hit a rock or something, but anyway. So it turned out he'd give me this favor, and things worked out. And miraculously, they'd fly out. So anyway, on this one particular day, we were golfing, and I was about 10. About 10 years old. And it was a short hole. I have to kind of picture this for you guys, because this is, to me, this is the greatest thing in golf ever. But I mean, that's just my opinion. And I should also mention, a lot of things I share, they may seem out there, unbelievable, but it's all true. And I'm not making any of this up. This has really happened. So anyway, so we're playing, and usually play with a group of four people in a group. And because we're playing best ball, it's teams of two. So four times two, there was eight of us in this group. Okay, there's eight playing on the short little hole. So there were seven other people besides me. And because it was a short hole, there was another tee off for another hole. And there were some guys sitting there, they had nothing to do, they were watching us. So there was three guys over there. And then there was two guys behind us, because we were so many, we were slow. So 7, 10, 12 people witnessed this, right? And there's a reason why I'm saying that later. So anyway, the hole's down here, a short little hole, and there's a tree way over here. Like, nobody goes over there. Like, it makes no sense. I hit my ball behind this tree, okay? Now, this tree was huge, big, round, like a Christmas tree, and my ball is right in the middle of it, on the bottom of the tree. So we walk up, and there's my ball, there's this tree, and the hole's way down there, probably at the end of where the wall is back there. And these guys start laughing. And they're freaking out. Look at you. And this was for not big money, a couple of dollars, whatever. But they're all freaking out. And I don't know what happened. But something came over me like, and it was like, ball's going in the hole. Ball's going in the hole. And I just said, oh, ball's going in the hole. Sorry. Go back here. Okay, I'm sorry. Ball's going in the hole. So I start freaking out. Ball's going in the hole. And I've come to guess what it was. Maybe it was the gift of faith. Maybe it was just his anointing. I don't know what happened, but I mean, I just knew the ball was going in the hole. So when I said this, all my friends seeing my ball behind in the middle of this tree laughed harder. And they start laughing, so everybody else starts listening. While they're all watching me, they think, this guy's nuts, right? What do I know? So I walk up there, I get to the ball, and it was so strong, the presence of God, that it was, I say now, I didn't know then, but there was no doubt. Like, with God, there's no doubt. Like, you just, it's going in. I don't know how, I don't care. It's going in. Okay, fine. So all I had to do was take the ball. I don't even know how I hit. I kind of flicked it up in the tree, like over, he said, overspin. So I flick it up in the tree. The ball goes up in the tree. Disappears. So we're all sitting there waiting. A couple, 10 seconds pass. The ball falls out on the other side of the tree. Starts bouncing. And the ground is not flat. It's all bumpy, humpy, dumpy. Bouncing. Gets on the green, goes up a hill on the green, starts rolling. Falls in the hole. Now let me tell you something. I thought, what's the big deal? I knew it was going in, right? But I took a look, and this is the part that freaked me out. Seven guys I was with, three people over there on the other tee, three behind me are all lying flat on their back, freaking out, laughing and freaking out. They couldn't believe it. I thought, what's the big deal? God says it's going to win, right? But I didn't know that at the time. So that was my first encounter with God. Anyway, as we went on, so then, now the bad ideas. When I was 16, I should have died one night. My first encounter with near death was from drinking too much alcohol. And I fell asleep in a snowbank. I thought it was a good idea to take a little rest in the snowbank, 20 below weather, and winter time, and young guy drinking with the older guys, trying to be mature, you know, 16. And it wasn't good. They had those big Texas Mule, 150-ounce, whatever, anyway. But as it turned out, I tried to leave home, and I was going to walk. I could have made it, no problem. And then this thought, enemy gave me a thought, go visit this party. There's some friends over here. So I started walking off course, and then next thing, I'll just take a little nap and just rest for a bit. The next thing you know, I come to, and my arms are like this, and there's two police officers, and they're literally dragging me into the ambulance. Hospital. And my leg was frozen solid from my knee down. They put it in this big oven kind of thing, and kind of toaster oven, kind of heated it up and thawed it out. And the most amazing thing of it all was when they found me, because in a small town, you have one street goes right through, and everybody takes that main street. The side streets you don't, because you got to stop. Nobody takes that side street. I was on that side street. And I was covered in snow, buried in the on the side, and the police somehow missed the turn, and he went and he looked, what's that over there? And he went and they dug me out. So that was the first time God saved me. So thank you, Jesus, for that one. Then 2 years later, I could have died, again, drinking with my friends. That's alcohol is not good, guys, I'm telling you. But anyway, I was a brakeman at the grain elevator, and my job was to jump on the boxcar. Okay, I'm going to give you too much information. How do I make this simple? The boxcars come with grain from out west. This machine dumps the grain out, and then this other machine shoots it out down the track. And the brakeman's job is to, it doesn't go very fast, it's just to jump on it. You crawl up, there's a big round brake on the top, and you just slow it down, and then it connects with the other train cars that are empty. CN comes, picks them up, takes them away. Simple job. And you just make sure your connector is open. So anyway, that day, I was really under the weather. I drank too much again the night before, so I was out of it. But I went and checked the train, and this track that I was going on was full, so I could not go down this track. So I switched to go to the next one. And I came out, and all of a sudden, this guy shot the boxcar out, but he didn't just, he really get a little extra oomph. It was doing about 40 miles an hour, so I had to run after it. I jumped on barely. I crawled up to the top, and I look, and all of a sudden, I was going at these boxcars. I wasn't on where I was supposed to be. Somebody switched it on me, and all I knew was something was going to give, and from what they told me, they said I did some kind of a swan dive. I flew like 40 feet, flew through the air, and I got one big scrape on the side of my face. It was a scab and a sore wrist. And when I came to, I was in the superintendent's office, and they were yelling and screaming because they could smell the booze on my breath. But again, all I had was a scrape on my face, and I stayed in all that summer, and that was it. So again, thank you, Jesus. Now, then when I was couple years later, my uncle, who was my dad's partner, he ended up drowning in the same lake. In the same lake that my dad did. And he went through the ice in a snowmobile, taking a skunk across the lake. So it was just like all these weird things were happening. But anyway, life went on. And a little bit later on, the North Pole? Okay. Oh, yeah. While I was out west, God gave me the privilege of working at very close to, I don't want to say Santa's house, but the North Pole. I was about 700 miles south of the North Pole. And if you look at a globe, it's about this far from the top. We were there. Dark 24-hour days, 24 hours a day, 60 to 70 below degrees, polar bears, you name it. But the one thing was that he protected me was from the snow snakes. They're 6 feet long, inch and a half fangs. So I'd take the garbage out, and they always warned me about the snow snakes, and I was all worried about them. But on the flight back into civilization, they told me that there was no such thing as snow snakes, so just in case you guys. But I'm gullible, right? So anyway, then the next experience. In the early 80s, I took a programming course at DeVry, Institute of Technology. It was a very expensive private school, and the same program at Seneca College would have cost for 2 years, $2,000. This cost like $20,000. So it's private, so they charge whatever. And anyway, everything was going good at first, and I'd borrow money off my my sister, my mom, my brother, for just to survive, because it was very expensive. And I had a loan, and they paid my basic tuition. But after doing well for a while, I decided to go out and started partying again, and next thing you know, I blew all my money that I had that I needed, and all of a sudden, I only had enough money just to pay for the school. So I had to get a job. And right next door, it was at Finch and Arrow Road, which is right near 400 in Finch. There was a Perlator Courier building right next to it. And some guys would get part-time jobs unloading trucks part-time. So that's what I did. I had to get this job. And it was a very physical job. These big steel bins on wheels, you'd have to grab them and throw them off, and people would grab them and move them around. And so it was a very physical job. By the time I finished, it was about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. By the time I got home, two bus rides to Kipling and near the airport, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. So I say all this because I had no time to do my homework. I wasn't studying. And it was really hard because I had partied, blew all my money, but now I was trying to do everything right on my own. I was trying to do the right thing. I was working. I was doing everything, but it just wasn't happening. And 7 weeks into this program, this semester, I had to write the midterm. And the midterm was due, and I'll never forget that night sitting there, and I'm like, nobody can help you. I couldn't phone the teacher. I couldn't phone anyone because how do you learn 7 weeks in one night? And all I can think of was going back home to a small town, telling everybody that you failed, that you're a loser, and everybody knows your business, and I just was not looking forward to it. So the only thing I thought I could do left, the last option was just to fall on the floor crying like a baby. I just sat there bawling my eyes out, fetal position, bawling my eyes out. And I said, if there is a God right now, you help me, I'll do anything. And I didn't even know if he was listening or what was going on or he would help me or anything. But when I got up off the ground, I started feeling better.